This morning, as we get into our series, I started this a couple of weeks ago, right after Easter. It's a series entitled Rhythms. Rhythms, Building Harmony for Life. And a couple of weeks ago, I started by telling you how important it is that you and I find rhythm in our lives. This is an unusual sermon series. It's a little different than what I would typically preach, but it's so important because we live in a very chaotic world. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, most of us would know this. It says, all Scripture, everybody say all Scripture, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Everybody say complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me read it again. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. May the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. Again, as we get into our series this morning on sacred rhythms or finding rhythms, remember a couple weeks ago, let me just kind of catch you up because I didn't preach last Sunday, but when Jesus walked the earth, one of the things that you will find in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus walked the earth, He modeled for us sacred rhythms, these rhythms that enabled Him to stay on point. I mean, how many's busy? I mean, that's kind of an understatement of the year, right, to say that we're busy, because there's always something. You hear me say this all the time, that there's always something in the periphery saying, fix me, weed me, prune me, mow me. There's always something out there vying for our time and our attention. And yet we still have something to accomplish. How many understand you were born on purpose with purpose? Every single one of us was born with an idea that God had in mind for us, something that Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and what? A future, destiny. Every one of us was created on purpose with purpose. And yet we live in a world with so chaotic, so many demands on our time that most people have one foot in the grave and one foot crumbling dirt, and they're wondering how they did. If you want to talk about a guy that was busy, look at what Jesus did. In fact, John said that if everything Jesus had done were to be written down, he said, I suppose the earth itself could not contain the volumes. So what you and I read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a sampling of the things that Jesus did. Everywhere Jesus went, He went about doing good. Amen? I mean, every time you see Jesus, He's always making an impact in somebody's life. He's always healing the sick and raising the dead and feeding people with McFish sandwiches and doing all kinds of things. Just over and over again. And yet, He maintained harmony in His life. You never see Jesus. How many's ever been late for something? I watched some of you this morning. Come on, more hands need to go up than that. No, I'm just messing with you. You never see Jesus looking at His sundial, the Timex sundial, and you never see Him in Capernaum saying, oh my goodness, I'm late. I'm supposed to have been in Galilee. You never see that. He was always where He was supposed to be, when He was supposed to be there. You know why? Because He lived with rhythm. He lived with harmony. He lived with balance. He was always able to stay on point because He practiced these sacred rhythms. I realize, again, this message is a little bit different from so many, but there are people today that are overwhelmed with life. They're overwhelmed with the demands of life. I told you a couple weeks ago that listen, sports makes a lousy God. Makes a lousy God. Again, if I can teach my kid to hit a curveball, but I don't teach them how to evangelize their neighbor, then what good have I done? It's important that we understand those things. Listen, I enjoy preaching messages that get things moving, but also enjoy practical words that help moderate the craziness of life. Listen, it's nuts. The demands are crazy. People are in trouble these days. And listen, God's Word is a guide to giving us balance and rhythm. And that's why this series is so important. I mentioned life is hectic. We're being pulled in so many directions, and the pace of life, please hear me, the pace of life for most people today is unsustainable. The pace that we're living our lives, the demands on us right now, it's unhealthy and it's unbearable. See, Jesus had all of these demands on Him. Everywhere He went, people were demanding more and more and more, more of His time, more of His attention, but He practiced these specific rhythms that allowed Him, listen to what it did, it allowed Him to live life, to engage in ministry and not be overwhelmed. That's why this is important. Because I think one of the great questions that we have today is, Pastor, how in the world can I do what God called me to do? I'm called to a specific ministry. I'm called to start a ministry. I'm called to help in a ministry. Whatever it is, how can I balance my family life, my work life, my social life, my sports life, and my church life? How do I balance and make that work? You have to find rhythm. You have to find rhythm. You have to find balance. Rhythms are seen everywhere. Think about it. Rhythms are, what are rhythms? Rhythms are the cadence of life. The cadence of life. Where's the baby? Christian, where's your baby? In the nursery. Oh, you already graduated or the nursery. Where's your baby? Trina? In the nursery? Okay. Do I have a baby in the house? Oh, I heard one. She answered. See there? How about that? You can't script this stuff, I'm telling you. We got a baby right up there. How old's the baby? 7 weeks old. Now, let me have a teenager. One of my teenagers stand up. Landry, stand up. There you go. How old are you, Landry? 13. Stay standing for a minute. Okay, let me have somebody in their 20s. Okay, how old are you, Jonathan? 28. Okay, how about 40s that want to admit it? Okay, so we got it. Okay, Janet, okay. All right, let me have a 60-year-old. Somebody, Steve just had a birthday. Right on the nose there, buddy. All right, 80-year-old. Do I have anybody in the 80s? Oh, yeah, so a bunch of them now. Yeah, there we go. Any 90s? Any 90s? We need to evangelize some old folks, you know? You know what? Here's the thing. Look around. You can't see the baby up there, but a 7-week-old baby. This is the cadence of life. Can you see that? It's the cadence of life. You have a baby, that baby grows. We don't have children in the building, so they're in the kids' room. You used to be seated. Thank you. So you have a baby that goes through the growth process to an adolescence. From an adolescence, you go into your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. It's the cadence of life. All around us, the rhythms of life are very visible to us. The ebb and flow of nature. I mean, from our heartbeat. Remember, I said this a couple weeks ago. Our hearts are in rhythm. And if your heart is out of rhythm, guess what? You go to the doctor. You get shocked. Right? They want to shock that thing back into, you know, if you'll pay me what you paid them, I'll give you an extension cord with both ends cut off, you know? We can shock you. But again, that's the heartbeat. The rising and the setting of the sun. We're surrounded with the rhythms of life. These rhythms produce balance. It produced balance. See, God has programmed each and every one of us to live with certain rhythms so that we can be productive. Remember, the idea here is without rhythm, life becomes very chaotic and overwhelming. This series is designed to help us to focus on the sacred rhythm so that you and I can find that balance necessary to living a productive life. Everybody say productive. See, it's important. There's a lot of people living today, but they're not productive. The idea is we find the balance so that we can be productive. See, Jesus said, if you remember my sermon a couple weeks ago, he said that the key to finding living a productive life is and finding the sacred rhythms stems from our abiding in him. John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, that's that connection there that's so important. The life flow, that's where it comes from. Abiding in him. Balance flows from our connection with God. I say this all the time. God created us to relate in three dimensions. Vertically, that's how we relate to him. That's so, so important. Because remember, if this is not right, this is not going to be right. If my relationship with God is not right, it's going to affect every area of my life. I won't be happy with myself. I won't be happy with my spouse. I won't be happy with my children. I won't be happy with my coworkers and colleagues. Because this right here is out of kilter. We've got to get the balance. It begins with our connection with God. Jesus, again, being connected to him means that we know him. How many know him? Listen, I'm not talking about Trivial Pursuit. You know, there are a lot of people, if you watch Jeopardy, my wife and I, that's our thing. We'll sit down in the evenings, if I'm able, and we'll sit there and watch Jeopardy. And I do usually answer more questions than she does, right? Because she's laughing at me because I knew the answer. But here lately, I'm just going to be honest with you, the last couple of weeks, there have been a lot of Bible categories on there. There have been a lot of Bible categories on Jeopardy. And here's the thing. You can have all the knowledge you want. You can go on Jeopardy and you can win that category outright by answering every question. But that means nothing, really. See, to really know someone, listen, I really do my best to present sound biblical sermons and teachings. But these alone, these things are not enough. It's not enough. If you rely on me every Sunday morning to feed you everything that you need to be fed for the upcoming week, then I'm sorry, but you're going to be starving by the time tomorrow gets here. It's not designed that way. See, to truly know Him, we have to spend time with Him, and part of that is spending time in the Word of God. See, the Bible is God's revelation to us, and to cultivate a necessary relationship with Him that enables us to overcome in this crazy busy life, then we need to spend time in God's Word. That is a good place to amen. We need to spend time in God's Word. Now, listen, you got to understand, the Bible, this book is not the philosophy of Moses or Elijah. It is not the ideology of the Apostle Paul or Peter. It is not the musings of David. It is the Word of Almighty God. In fact, in our scripture here, it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, some translations put it like this. All scripture is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. What does it mean? It means that God breathed out what the human authors wrote down. Every writer, think about it, every writer was inspired by the Spirit to write specific events and books. 66 books, I want you to think of this. 66 books canonized in Scripture. 66 books written by 40 authors over a period of 1,600 years without any conflict in doctrinal teaching. That's God. You can't achieve that without God. I mean, the unity of the Bible is one of the proofs that what you and I have is God's Word. That's one of the proofs that we have God's inerrant Scripture. 1,600 years, 40 different authors, and yet there is no conflict in the content of these pages. That's an amazing thing. See, the Old Testament points to the coming of Christ. The Gospels record the appearance of Christ. Acts records the preaching of Christ. And the epistles, the body of Christ, and then Revelation, the return of Christ. You see, if you want to know about Jesus, just read the Bible, because He's in there from Genesis to Revelation. He is the theme of the Bible. And if you want a relationship with Him, then you need to study the Word of God and get it in your heart. See, the amazing unity and amid the diversity is one of the great proofs that the Bible is of supernatural origin. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalms 1. And listen to it describes the rhythm of being in tune with God's Word. Here's what the psalmist writes. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Do you want to find the fullness of joy? I said this a couple weeks ago. I've never met anybody who said, Pastor, you know what? I want to be a miserable human being. I'm not even going to say that. You know where I'm going. There might be some people that have that countenance about them. But I've never had anybody tell me that, Pastor, I just want to be a miserable human being. I've never had anybody tell me they want to be a failure in life. Most people I know, most people I've ever come across have always said, you know what, I want my life to make a difference for somebody. I want what I have to be infectious around people, and I want them to want what I have. You know what? Do you want the fullness of joy? Well, it tells you right here how to do it. Blessed is the man. Now, that word blessed means happy. Happy, not just ha 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 happy, but happy in the full sense of happiness. Have you yet tapped into that happiness yet? See, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that you might have life and have it in all of its abundance. Have you tapped into that yet? See, I think one of the greatest disasters of modern Christianity is we have a lot of people professing the name of Christ, but have not tapped into the blessings of Christ. See, we have mental ascent. We've got it up here, but we've not gotten it here. Do we understand? We're not tapping in to what Jesus said we could have. Listen, there's joy to my walk with Him. There's joy. There's joy when I wake up in the morning and I know that my Redeemer lives. There's joy in my heart when I know that no matter what mountain I face or what situation that confronts me, what size my giant is, there's a joy inside of me that looks at this thing and says, hey, you can hit me with your best shot, but the God that I serve is more than enough to take you out. See, there's a joy there. But you know what? There are a lot of people today that are not living with that joy. They come to church because it's obligatory. Okay? It's a box they check off on their calendar. Oh, I went to church, so next time I call my mom, I can say, yeah, Mom, I went to church. If that's all it is, you're missing out. There's joy when God's people get together. And again, if you want that, it starts right here. Blessed, rich fullness of joy, fullness of happiness. And it starts by, number one, look at here. The happy person does not, what? Walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. See, that's a negative. The reality is there are things that a happy person will not do. There are things a happy person will not do. Again, we live in a culture today that we're raising a generation, they don't want to be told they can't do something. But right here he says, you know what, if you want to tap into the fullness of the happy life, it starts with a negative. It starts with a negative. There are things that if you want to tap into that joy, you're not going to do. You're not going to walk in the counsel of the wicked. That means you're not going to get your marching instructions from Ellen DeGeneres or from Oprah. Not going to do it. You're not going to stand in the path of sinners. You're not going to sit in the seat of the scoffers. That's those things you're not going to do. So what does a happy person do? Well, look what he says. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. See, so instead of finding our pleasure in the words and the ways and the fellowship of the world, the one who is truly happy finds his pleasure from meditating on the word of God and the ways of God. That's a powerful thing to think about. See, the person who delights in the Word of God will meditate on it day and night. And here's what happens. If you will make the Bible a regular part of your life, and I'm not talking about just bringing it on Sunday. I'm talking about daily partaking of the wisdom of Scripture. Then here's what's going to happen. He said, you will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. What is he talking about? He's talking about being fruitful. Well, Pastor, I want my life to count. Fruitful. Pastor, I want my life to make a difference somewhere. Fruitful. That's what he's talking about. He said, a tree whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. See, notice the rhythms of abiding in God's word. You don't do this, but you do this. And when you start doing this, you're going to be like a tree. You're going to start yielding your fruit in its season. And you're going to do that. You're going to keep the rhythms going, the balance, the harmony of life. And your leaf is not going to wither. And whatever you do is going to prosper. That's where God wants us to be. Not running around like Chicken Little with our head cut off. Running here, running there in a frenetic pace to the point where we run on exhaustion. You know, they even coined terms now. To help with what's going on, chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, I'm not smart enough to understand all the workings behind it, but just the idea of chronic fatigue tells me that we are overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with the cares of life. See, this is why we need to be students of God's Word. If we want to find balance in life and live with those sacred rhythms, God's Word shouldn't be something that we just come and hear on a Sunday. It should be something that we partake of on a regular basis. Well, Pastor, I just don't understand it. Well, you know what? If you start reading it enough, you'll start coming to understand it. And if you're new to reading the Bible, then may I suggest that you not start with Genesis or Leviticus. Go to John. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read about Jesus. Learn Jesus. I'm not saying you ignore the Old Testament. Listen, Old Testament, Christ concealed, revealed in the New Testament. You need to know, because one of the great things about the modern Christianity is you look at how many times, again, you verify the truthfulness of God's Word by looking at the Old Testament. All he talked about, again, everything pointed to the coming of the Messiah, and he did in the New Testament. It's a powerful thing. Listen, make it a part of your life. See, God's word should be a priority for us. And if God's word becomes a priority, we become balanced. His word's beneficial. Let me give you these three things real fast. Number one, his word is beneficial in that we become, number one, fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. Again, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that if we abide in him, we will produce fruit. Again, one of the sad commentaries of modern Christianity is we are producing very little fruit. We've got a neighbor across the street. We've got a colleague at work. We have somebody close by us that is, they're not believers, and yet we yield no fruit. That needs to change, church. Again, the mandate of the gospel is to go into all the world and start right here in own Jerusalem. Listen, what does it mean that we'll produce fruit? It means that your life will count. Your life will count. The psalmist says, if we delight in the word of God and meditate on it day and night, we will yield our fruit in its season, that our life will become fruitful. We'll be a fruitful person. What does that mean? It means our life will give evidence that there's something different about us, and we'll be a blessing. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, you know what? There's just something different about you. I mean, again, rhetorical, think about it. Has anybody ever said that? See, one of the evidences of a salvation experience, conversion experience, is there's an inward witness, okay? People describe it like this. Pastor, when I give my heart to Jesus, it's just like, man, the weight of the world was lifted off of me. See, that's an inward witness of the Spirit. But then there is an external witness. And that means that there are people around you that you used to hang out with. They're going to say, hey, you know what? You used to be a bad dude, but there's something different about you. See, that's how our life becomes fruitful, because people begin to see that there's something different about us. See, a fruitful person lives in such a way that others are refreshed and nourished. Their words bring healing and conviction and encouragement, and they're deepening and they're enlightening. Being around them is one of those things that brings joy and peace, and that's the effect of delighting in the Word of God. You radiate. The Bible says we are living epistles read of all people. May God help us to tell a good story. Because people are watching us. So someone who delights themselves in the Word of God is fruitful. Secondly, they're resilient. They're resilient. The psalmist said that if we delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, that our leaf does not wither. It means we're resilient. We're resilient. How many remember the droughts that we've gone through in the last 20 years here? You know, I remember a few years ago, in fact, I think the 2013 when the tornado came through, we were in a drought then, I believe. Seemed like I remember the lake being way, way down, 60%. As a fisherman, it might be really beneficial. Less water, less places for them to hide. But we need water, right? Seems like I can remember us praying, God, we need rain. On Wednesday night, God, we need rain. It was filled up in 24 hours. Of course, then you had the storms come through. But my point being this, we know what it is to be in a drought, to be parched, to see things withering. And sometimes you look at things and you wonder, are they still living? He says here that if we delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, that our leaf will not wither. What does it mean? It means we'll be resilient. We'll hang in there. See, there are always going to be things in our life that will challenge us. A defining moment. There will be a place in our life, a moment in our life when some disaster, some situation happens that causes us to pause and say, okay, what gives? Maybe you don't pray like that, but I do. Okay, God, what gives? I don't understand. But when you've meditated on the Word of God, you have resiliency. You can go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know what, I'm sorry, it's inoperable. You can get a phone call in the middle of the night that says, sorry, there's been an accident. You can go to work and there'll be a pink slip in your time slot. A resilient person says, you know what, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's someone that has the tenacity to stick to what he's doing. That's what we need today. We've got so many people today that want to lick their finger, hold it up, and see which way the wind's blowing in and follow in suit. That's not what he's called us to do. He's called us to plant ourselves in the eternality of who he is. He said, heaven and earth will pass, but my word will not fail. And it, as I read this morning, it will not return to me void. See, this is a huge benefit to practicing sacred rhythms and finding balance, because life has a way of surprising us from time to time, as most of us know. We all have that experience of the ups and downs of life. David calls it the valley of the shadow of death, or the way I like to read it, the deep, dark valleys of life. Every one of us has those. And if you're not grounded, if you're not like a tree planted, see, the thing about those trees that plant by those streams is they send down their root systems really deep into the soil, and sometimes they have to get deeper, than the eye level of the water. They have to find that underground source. See, sometimes we have to shoot our roots way down into, anchored into the bedrock of this. Because what we see on the surface is not there. But if you got your roots down, you're delighting and meditating on the Word of God, you're being nourished. Even though everything around you looks like drought, everything around you, become resilient. You become resilient. By abiding in Christ and meditating on His Word, we have staying power. Would to God that that be the message of the 21st century Christian, that we have staying power. Too many yo-yos in the church today. Not here. But too many yo-yos. You know what I mean, right? Up and down, up and down, up and down, on and off, in and out, in and out. See, resiliency gives you staying power. When life throws you the curveball, you find yourself, when you find yourself in the driest deserts of life, you remain healthy and strong. Why? Because you have meditated on the Word of God. You have shot your roots down into the deep foundation of God's Word. And there's nothing that can take that out of you. Abiding in His Word is like, again, being planted by a stream. It gives us durability and stability. This person is not tossed about by every wind of doctrine that blows. And it refuses to allow the world, as Paul said, to squeeze them into its mold. You need to understand, coming sooner than what any of us probably expect. Paul said in the last days, people would not endure sound doctrine. Not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap unto themselves, preachers having itching ears, to be, hear only what they want to hear. Listen, I love you, and I'd lay my life down for this body. But I'm not going to not, that's a double negative. I'm not going to not tell you the truth. It's not going to happen. Because one day I'm going to stand before God, and He's going to say, okay, I gave you a pulpit, I gave you a platform, what did you do with it? Did you speak truth? Or did you placate your assignment because you wanted to build a monument to your ministry rather than a people for me? Oh yeah, I want to see the place packed out. I want to see that. But I don't want a monument to myself. I want a people for Him. That's the desire of my heart. See, the only thing that can change us is God's Word. Last thing, prosper. We become prosperous. Verse 3 says, whatever he does prospers. Now we like to hear that, right? Oh boy. The preacher said we're going to be prosperous. What does it mean? Does it mean if I delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night that my business will make huge profits? My health is going to be always good and there'll be no food shortages in my house and no car accidents or violence against my house? Be nice, right? Be nice. But that's not what he's saying. See, the psalmist is contrasting for us the life of the wicked versus the life of a committed person to God. The contrast is there. See, there might be some prosperity in the lives of the wicked. There might be some good things that happen to them in this life. But in the end, please understand, in fact, he says it, I'm not going to read it to you, but in the end, that will be all be blown away. It will be swept away like chaff. But for those who have delighted in the Word of God, meditated on it, you will go on flourishing. You know why? Because God sets His eye and His favor upon those. He knows their way. I like that. He knows my way. When I walk, He watches over me. In fact, not only does He watch over me, He's with me. Guys, if you'll come back, I'm going to wrap this up so we can pray. So the blessing and the happiness referred to in verse 1 is a life that is nourishing and fruitful for others. It is a life that is deeply durable in the face of drought, because and it succeeds because God has purposed it so. If we delight in the Word of God. See, the bottom line is this. Practicing the rhythm of reading God's Word will enable you and I to run our race with endurance and patience. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Wherefore, seeing we're surpassed by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight and every sin that does so easily entangle us, and let us run with patience the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before." You know the scripture. Run our race. Reading the Word of God. Let me exhort you to carve out time in your daily life and get into this daily rhythm of taking in God's Word. Study the Word of God. Great men and women. Listen to this. Great men and women of faith have one key component. They all spend time in God's Word. They read the Bible. They study it. They search out deeper meaning. They glean truths from the Word of God. Again, we live in a time when when the Bible has been minimized and its message has been softened to the point. Again, we've softened the message of the Bible because we don't want to offend our modern sensitivities. Well, boo-hoo-hoo. We're so afraid that somebody's going to get their feelings hurt because, well, the Bible says this. I don't want to chase that one. Again, much of what's being taught in our churches today, and God help us, is tailored to our postmodern culture that rejects the idea of absolute truth. When I can walk in here and hear a message and say an amen and toss a dollar in the plate and go out and still live the way I want to live, something's wrong. When I can walk in living in sin and not be convicted by the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be there, something is wrong. We've tailored the Word of God today to fit the postmodern culture that fits our sensitivities. We don't want to be offended. We don't want to be told that we're doing wrong. We don't want to be told to straighten up. And so we tailor it to make it palatable. Well, here's the thing. While we're making it palatable to us, God's vomiting it out of His mouth. You say, "Pastor, that's pretty gross to think about." Well, what did He tell the church in Revelation? He said, "You're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will," what did He say? He said, "I will spew you out of my mouth." And we don't think much about it. Listen, Paul even said, again, that the last days would be marked by a deification of man and a devaluing of God. We're going to put man up here and God down here. Mankind not wanting to endure sound doctrine. In fact, one seminary student recently was quoted in the Phoenix Times. Here's what he said. He said, again, a seminary student said, "A lot of us are sick of churches that make you follow these certain requirements, or you're just not welcome." What kind of nonsense is that? A seminary student. I guess they don't teach anymore that Paul says to reprove, rebuke, and to exhort. That's what the Word of God does. Again, living in rhythm flows from our relationship with Him. The more I know Him, the more I love Him. Amen? And the best way to know Him is to spend time in His Word. That's the best time. Let me give you five things real quick. I promise that real quick. Number one, read it. Set a time and read it. If you don't set it, it ain't going to happen. Number two, reflect on it. That means ponder it. Don't just read it to check off on your box. Ponder it. Let the Word of God, do you understand when you read it, God, the Holy Spirit, will hit, part of His job is to lead us into the truth. You may not understand. How many say, I'm not going to ask a question, because most of us have read the Bible, and when we go back and read the same passage maybe a year later that we read the previous year, we understand it. Why? Because we grow. Reflect on it. Remember it. When was the last time you memorized the Scripture? The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." You know what? God forbid, but there might be a time in America where this is outlawed. How much of it do you know? How much have you hidden in your heart? Number four, recount it. What does that mean? It means share it with somebody. Share it with somebody. Number five, respond to it. Respond to it. Simply do it. Don't just be a hearer of the Word. Do the Word. Listen, if you want to find balance and harmony in your life, make God's Word a daily part of your life. Devote yourself to studying it and allow God to speak to you through it. It will alter your life. And if you won't find that balance and harmony, you cannot find it without the foundation of God's Word. It just won't happen. I want you to stand with me this morning as we close. Say, Pastor, you know what? I do struggle sometimes with God's Word. You know, why don't you in your prayer time ask God to give you a joy for His Word, to give you a hunger? Isn't that what Jesus preached about in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. God, give me a hunger for Your Word. Help me to understand. Before you read, pray, God, let me understand what I'm about to read. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'll join me down front this morning, please. Listen, this morning is so important. This whole day has been fashioned and set by God for you. God knew you were going to be here today. And again, the events of this life have been orchestrated by God because we have given Him permission. God, You take charge. You do what You need to do. I don't ever want to be a place where we just come in, sing a song, hear a sermon, say an amen, slap each other on the back, and then go our merry way, because transformation is what's important. I said this earlier. There are far too many people, a lot of hands went up in this one, that are still tethered to the past. And it's time to break it. See, the foundation of God's Word that I've just preached about, listen, you need a love for this. This book right here, you'll never be in a place in your life where this book cannot minister to you, where it cannot instruct you, where it cannot guide you. That's why the Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Never a question, never a situation that God's Word doesn't weigh in to give us clarity and understanding. That's how God helps us to guide and navigate this life according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But because we're so tied up, it consumes us. And you know better than I, and I'm doing an altar call right here. You know better than I how much time is consumed worrying about the shackles of the past, being tethered to what happened yesterday or whatever, years ago. You know how much you think about it. You know how encumbered you are because of it. And I believe God's saying today, you know what? If you'll allow me, I'll break them. I'll loose them, and I'll let you go. But you've got to do it. See, there's freedom in Him. It's already done. When He said it is finished, that means it's done. It's all done. But you've got to appropriate what He's done. And so while we pray, as we sing, if you're here this morning, two things. Number one, you need a miracle in your life. Pastor, you know what? I just need a miracle today. Listen, we want to pray for that. I believe in the miraculous. Maybe here this morning and say, you know, Pastor, I'm one of those. I'm shackled to something that's happened in the past. And I'm tethered. And I understand. I feel the same way because I can't advance because I'm still hanging on. And today, God told me it's time to lay it down. Whatever that is for you, whatever that means for you, lay it down. As we sing, I want you to come. I want you to come and let us pray together with you. Pastor, why do I need to step forward? I think out of obedience. See, it would be easy to sit there and listen. I'm not saying that God can't do anything there in your seat, but I think it says a whole lot to be able to say, God, you know what? This really means a lot to me. I'm going to take a bold step of faith, and I'm going to come and agree with somebody this morning. So while we sing, would you come? You want to be free today. Sharon, as the Lord leads, I want you to pray for some folks as they come forward. Would you come? Let's sing.
Behold the mighty breath of God. Calm the seas.
Come on, church, if it's begin praying. Come on, time to let it go. Come on, walk out of here different than when you came in. Come on, walk out different than when you came in.
Behold our God. the anthem of our praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
We were born to bless his name. All the earth and angels sing, behold my God. Hallelujah.
Come on, come on. Amen. It's your day. Come on. You want to be free this morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that power to break every chain, every shackle.
Hallelujah.
Open every prison door this morning. Come on, lay that anger down. Lay that anger down. This morning, you got to need a miracle. Come on, we'll pray with you.
Hallelujah! 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 Our God reigns.
Hallelujah. Man, let your word accomplish. Let your word accomplish today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Behold the wonder of the cross. Jesus counted up the cost. What kind of king would die for us? This is our God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah.
All that hath breath. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, would you just lift your hand up to him this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you that you reign this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you reign. Lord, you are high and lifted up above all things. Lord, I thank you this morning. There is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. Lord, I thank you that if we are grounded in your word, if we are like a tree planted by streams that yield its fruit in its season, Lord, I thank you that we will not be easily moved. Father, I thank you this morning for answered prayer. Lord, I thank you that chains are being broken this morning. Lord, I thank you that shackles are being unloosed and that your children are being set free today. Lord, may we walk out of here today free in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that no more tethered to the past, no more drama from the past. Lord, today let it be a new birthday. Lord, let today be drama free from this point forward. May we refuse to be drugged back in to things of the past, Lord. But today, Lord, just like Isaiah said, Lord, you said, I will do something new in your life. Let it begin today, Lord. As we walk out of here today, Father, I pray that each and every one of us would have a hunger for your word, Lord. That we would find that rhythm to partake of your word, to hide your word in our heart so that we would not sin against you, Lord. That we would be like the psalmist, that we would delight in your word and meditate on it day and night. Lord, may we be happy in that. Father, I love each one here today, and I pray, Lord, that the desires of their heart will be met as they honor you and follow hard after you. Lord, we pray for Sharon as she prepares to go back to Germany here this next week, Lord. I pray, Lord, to traveling mercies upon her and the team that is there, Lord, as they begin to expand and continue their ministry. Lord, bless her, and Lord, may she continue to be fruitful, Lord, as instruments that, Lord, of all the people that are sending her, Lord, I pray that she be blessed in all that she does. Now, Father, go with us, I pray. Give us a wonderful afternoon bring us again in the next appointed time should you tarry, ready once again just to receive from you. I love and I bless each one now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much this morning.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Yeah, God, you're so you're